Father Ki Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajikacharya Stotarasat Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajikacharya Stotarasat Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Fandalcharya Viskon and Bibhiti Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsi Koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Vrindam Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Sasaki Ki Jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Nishing Prahlad Nishinga Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 7, verse 37. Adoksha labham iha subatmana. Sharirina shamsri chakra satatam satanam tad brahma nirvana shuka vidu buddhas tato bhajadvam hridaye hridayishvaram. Devotees, adoksha labham iha subatmanah. Haririna shri krishatatam. Ato jane jam nidaye sisvaram. Adoksha labham iha subatmanah. Haririna samsri chakra satanam. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidu buddhas. To bhajadvam hridaye hridishvaram. Adoksha labham iha subatmanah. Sharirina samsriti chakra satatam. Nirvana sukham vidu buddhas. Tau bhajadvam hridaye hridishvaram. Matajis? Adoksha jalabham iha shababhatmanah. Sharirina samsri chakra satanam. tad brahma nirvana sukham vidutudas tato bhajadvam hridaye ridishvaram. Adokshalabham ihashu batmanaha Sharirina samstriti chakra satatam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidu buddhas Tad bojadadvam hridaye hridishvaram. Adokshalabham ihasu batmanaha Sharirina samstriti chakra satatam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidu buddhas Tad bojadvam hridaye hridishvaram. Adokshajam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the materialistic mind or experimental knowledge. Alabam, being constantly in contact. Iha, in this material world. Ashubha Atmanaha, whose mind is materially contaminated. Sharirina, of a living entity who has accepted a material body. Samsriti, of material existent. Chakra, the cycle. Shatanam, completely stopping. Tat, that. Brahma Nirvanam, connected with the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth. Sukham, transcendental happiness. Vidu, understand. Buddha, those who are spiritually advanced. Tataha, therefore, bhajadvam, engage in devotional service. Hridaye, within the core of the heart. Hrit Ishvaram, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul within the heart. So, translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon the worship of this worshiping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahma Nirvana refers to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features. Brahmeti Paramatmi Paramatma Meti Bhagavam Iti Shabdyate. One feels Brahma Shukha, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagat andakoti. Yasya prabha. The impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Shukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied, but one must advance further. To render services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for one remaining merged in the Brahman's effulgence, is not always assured. It is said, Aruhya kricherena param padam tata patantyado nadritha yusmat angriyaha angriyaya. One may merge into the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but there is a chance that one may fall because of not being acquainted with Adoksaja or Vasudeva. Of course, such Brahman Shukha undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relationship with Him as servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon. But when one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contaminations. Ya nivrittis tanu britam. This cessation of all material happiness is called nivritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brahmanado bhavet esha chit paradra gunikritaha neiti bhakti sukambode paramanu tulamapi. If Brahmananda, the bliss of merging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. If one advances further from the Brahma Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The word Adoksa Jalabham refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the Absolute Truth, who is beyond the mind and material speculation. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of His lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. Thus, The word Brahma Nirvana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the Absolute Truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. Srila Prabhupada ki says, the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, I lost. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of Asuras, immediately began meditating and worshipping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Om Ajnanam Timirandasya Gnanam Janam Shalakaya Chakshur Anmilitan Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So good morning to all of you, and thank you once again for the opportunity to share my very humble realizations in Krishna consciousness. I'm but a student and on this path of bhakti yoga. So this verse is in a very strategic point of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The seventh canto is going over the middle of the Bhagavatam, and it has started with a question. Is God really equal? And this question has been posed in many religions. Is God really an equal personality? And this question has motivated the whole first chapter. And the question has been answered that simply because we have been in contact with the three material modes, with the asat nature, we have been suffering the results of our endeavors. Therefore, the Lord has nothing to do with that. He himself is aloof from the material nature, but He is lending us the opportunity to try to practice our free will of being God. And in that first chapter, it's clarified then that God actually is very equal. And the reason that He's benefiting the demigods is simply because the demigods are in a mode, the mode of goodness, which is closer to Him. And this chapter leads to the second chapter of this canto, which is the description of the demoniac nature. And by understanding the demoniac nature, we can identify where we have gathered in our travels in this material world some of these undesired elements and how we can get rid of them. In the eighth verse of this chapter, it's described that the characteristic of the demoniac nature or the demoniac mentality is the attachment to blood. When Hiranyakashipu says, I will kill everyone, including Vishnu, and my brother will be very happy in sucking his blood. So he defines right in that verse what is the essence of the demoniac nature in terms of attachment. Few verses down, verse 2.12, Hiranyakashipu gives a very specific order in the second chapter. My dear friends, he just says, go to wherever Varnashram is preached and set fire to those villages and cut all the trees by the root. And Prabhupada in the purport just says, this is an indirect description of what a perfect civilization would look like. And in that verse, Prabhupada mentions that without a perfect class of men who can guide society, a perfect class of men who can rule society, a perfect class of men who can supply pure food for society, and a perfect class of men who can serve, it's not possible to have peace. Actually, Prabhupada goes a very, if you analyze, if you investigate this verse, he says, it is impossible. And Prabhupada was a person who was not very fond of this word. But he just says there, and he just goes on developing what happens in the demoniac nature. And Prabhupada is very heavy on Ugra karma. And then the next chapter is describing really how Hiranyakashipu had a plan to become immortal and how he did all his penances, how he was so involved in desiring to be immortal at the same time as he was enjoying the material world. And it's proved that his plan failed. And the next chapter describes how the whole universe is simply terrorized, you know, terrified by all these austerities to dominate. And we have seen so many people in a smaller scale, Hitler, Stalin, so many dictators now in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, we're just describing how Venezuela, a country so rich, so abundant, rainforest, is now lacking of food. The news showed that Venezuela does not have food for its citizens. And that's a perfect picture of what this mentality makes to a country. A country full of opulence. If anyone goes to the rainforest, we had a conference in South America, and this expert teacher was just by walking 10 meters, he could find 30 types of foods, which we call weeds. He says, this is good for your heart. This is good for your iron. This is good for your health. This you make pakoras with. This you can... This is a wild ginger. It grows by itself. Imagine such place, and they are lacking in food. Because the dictator is thinking that by producing oil and by developing industry, he will be happy. And he will be able to supply the needs of his citizen. As soon as the barrel of oil fell with another very demoniac action in America called fracking, you should research this. It's happening even very near to us in our communities. The oil fell from $140 a barrel to $40 a barrel. And here came Venezuela down the drain. So that's the description of what happens after some time to this civilization. It's happening before us, but one piece at a time. So we can't have a full end of the universe, as some of us would think. But it's falling apart one bit at a time. And then this beautiful seventh canto comes with the saintly Prahlad Maharaj and is describing this personality which is so wonderful, which is simply preaching to us what is to be pure in devotion to the Lord. And at the age of 5, he's already preaching to his school classmates who are very fond of this nature. And finally, we come to this chapter. What he learned in the womb. Because he has preached to his colleagues, but his colleagues are asking him, all right, you're preaching that, but what's the evidence that this knowledge has any value? Where does it come from? So now he's telling what he learned from the womb of his mother. So all of these verses have been describing the transcendental knowledge. And we've been escalating from a series of verses where it started from acceptance of Guru as the only way to have access to the transcendental knowledge until Samadhi, which was yesterday's verse, when the hairs stand on end. And it was a very interesting class how Srila Prabhupada also demonstrated sometimes, but he was very cautious in talking about this. As it was pointed out in the Sunday class by Bhaktivedya Purna Swami Maharaj, that is not the goal. That is just a symptom which comes when these exalted personalities reach such deep meditation in Krishna. And today's verse is an important verse because after reaching samadhi, Prahlad Maharaj goes to the heart of the problem. In the first sentence he says this, in the previous verse he's saying, the devotee is free from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord pastime. And then he describes samadhi. And in this verse he just says, the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death. And I heard this sentence so many times when I read Srila Prabhupada's books. And like everyone else, I used to think, all right, Prabhupada, I got this part. Let's go to the next part. And he just kept repeating that. You're not the body, you're a transcendental soul. And here, Prahlad, after describing samadhi, he brings back this topic. Because this is the center of the material contamination. And in a beautiful class, in the Bhaktivedanta manner, Prabhupada giving a class on Bhagavad Gita 2.16, he's talking about Sat and Asat. And he says, our program in ISKCON is to become immortal. And he introduces the topic of becoming immortal. In our society, becoming immortal is something that we only hear of the gods in Greece becoming immortal and being part of the pantheon. Or the demigods. We don't hear anybody saying, you and we should all become immortal. On the contrary, we hear we are simple mortals. We are useless mortal people. Which is true in my case to many degrees. But Prabhupada is saying, our program is to become immortal. And that is something so revolutionary because you don't hear Christians talking about immortality. You don't hear other religions talking about immortality or becoming immortal. But you hear Prabhupada in the mid-60s just telling us our program is to become immortal. And he's describing that our big problem is because we associated with asat. By association with the material modes, we got involved in this asat. And he just develops on what we were talking previously, how the ugra karma is simply taking over because of this mentality of asat. And he gives a beautiful description how India, and he says, I'm not talking of India today, I'm talking of India as it is, was really thinking about the higher purpose of life. And then he gives a beautiful example. He just says, just like the sky and the cloud. We look at the cloud, it's there, but it's not there. After some time, it's gone. Sometimes we look at the clouds and we see, oh, it's in the form of an elephant, of an island, of a bird. But then it disappears. And Prabhupada says, the cloud comes and then it showers and some vegetation is grown. But actually, it's real, but it's temporary. And he criticizes the Mayavadi for actually proposing that the material nature is false. He says, we have the experience, it's true, it's there, but it's temporary. And then he just mentioned how the whole mentality in the West is simply going after the temporary. The whole education is based on getting a job, getting a position, getting money, getting old, retired, and die. That's the whole program. The whole program is getting in a system where you get like systematized, doctrinized to do something repeatedly so that you don't think very much. You just repeat what everyone else is doing. We are so distanced from our ability to grow food, to know life, to know relationships. We just become very distanced because that is the mentality of just going for the asat. And the asat mentality just goes on into becoming more and more impersonal. To be personal is to become God conscious. Is to understand that this Brahman existence has qualities. It's not nirguna. It's saguna Brahman. And we are attracted by it because it comes from Krishna. And because it comes from Krishna, it is attractive. But by not seeing Krishna, we are entangled. And that is the fault of the West. It's so organized. Everything functions so well. But the whole mentality is simply to become more and more comfortable, more and more secure, more and more advanced in asat. And this called my attention. I was a young boy in India in 82, a young teenager, and I was perplexed how there was a certain peace in my neighborhood. And I couldn't understand it. Because those people had traces of that sat purpose of life. They knew life had a purpose beyond getting a good bank account, a good name. India has been forgetting that more and more and trying to copy the West. But in 82, I could experience in a road in Hyderabad peace. People were not running crazy up and down. They had time for their families. They had time for their prayers. They had time for a little something more than I understood. But I couldn't understand what it was. It was simply hidden in my memories of a child that there was something in India which I couldn't pinpoint, but it was very attractive to me. We experienced a similar thing very recently in a place called Remuna. It's a small village. There's hardly anything there except a temple, a tree, three or four shops, and a guest house in a small village. And we thought we would stay there for one afternoon. We ended up having 3 days, wonderful 3 days. And what called my attention the most, I went to a shop to buy something. And I said, I need this item. And the person smiling said, sorry, I don't have that item. I'm very sorry, I cannot fulfill your need. And that was the end of the conversation. There was no more propaganda. No, but you can take this, you can buy that, this is in promotion, there's a sale here. There was nothing of that. He was simply there doing his duty. There's no anxiety. He knew that whatever he needs is coming because with the body, everything that you need comes. But in the West, we think we have to do an extra endeavor. And by that extra endeavor, something extra will come. And Prabhupada alerts us. Our program is to focus on Krishna conscious and everything else will follow through. And Prahlad Maharaj is an example here. Because he was preaching pure transcendental devotional service. But at the end he got a kingdom and he ruled and had all the facilities. And I'm sure all of us experience to some degree that somehow or other Krishna arranges things. So Prabhupada is pointing out that with this body that we got, we already got a quota which comes with it. And if we focus on transcendental knowledge, everything which is bothering the body ends. That's the next line. The will, however, completely stop when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the next verse of the next line of the verse. So the will stops. Why does the will stop? Because now we are going in a different realm. We are going in the realm of akarma. You're serving Krishna and Krishna is keeping you, is maintaining you. And it takes a lot of meditation and intelligence. Because the immediate thing is to say, okay, Krishna is taking care. I don't have to do anything. I just have to sit down and wait. And many Hindus have gone through that process and they have become stagnant. The opulence comes and they cannot recognize. The opportunity comes because it's due to come, but they can't take advantage. Simply because they're thinking in this way. okay, if Krishna is maintaining, I don't have to do anything. I will sit back and just enjoy. And that's the mistake. Because Krishna gave us intelligence. Krishna gave us the mind. Krishna gave us planning. All of these items are to be used. But the result belongs to Him. He's the one who gives the result according to His plans. And we constantly keep making that mistake of thinking that our plans is giving the results. That is the mistake. But I've seen so many expert, advanced devotees, just by fine-tuning with that consciousness, everything is there. They travel, they preach, everybody is happy with them. There's happiness around them. And then you question, what is it that they got? They have surrendered to Krishna's plan. And then the wheel stops. And they can do their service. Because the main objective here is the pleasure of Krishna. It's not a separate plan for enjoyment. And then naturally when we engage in that project of Krishna, happiness will come. Very naturally. And then the next line says, in other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. So here is Prabhupada's formula. By the higher taste, we start to visualize that actually the service is so much more nectarian than our plans to be on a vacation in an island in the Caribbean or South Pacific or wherever you would like to be. Because there's so much trouble there. And you think you're enjoying, but you work like anything to do that. But when you're in touch with Krishna's plan, everything flows. And whenever there's an obstacle, that obstacle means something is to be learned. There's a lesson for us to learn there. And the main lesson is connected to becoming immortal. That's Prabhupada's mission. To tell us, we're all immortal, but right now we are convinced that we are mortals. So how to make that transition is Bhakti Yoga. Engaging the service of the Lord. And here the verse just says, or Prabhupada just finishes very nicely. He has, if you have a look at the purport, he has gone from a definition of Brahman, he has gone to the demigods, the Brahmas, the Brahman Samhita, the Bhagavad Gita, and he finalizes with this. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging the service of the Lord and thinking of His lotus feet, one is automatically free from all material contamination. So Prabhupada is concluding with that sentence that by deity worship, you develop that love for Krishna. That's His favor. So, in other words, the greatest fortune is in Sri Mayapur, where Prabhupada mentions, we have not one moon, but have millions of moons with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when Prabhupada came, he gave that simple formula. We should preach, we should distribute prasadam, and we should cultivate the land, and then everything auspicious would come from that. And somehow or other, this is what's going to happen. Despite the evolution or the course of action, because it's his desire, it's bound to happen. Just like when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on the other side of the Jalangi and he saw us today chanting and dancing from different nationalities, he says in his book, if you read Teaching of Lord Chaitanya, if I'm not mistaken, it's bound to happen because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired so. And his desire always comes through. For us, it's a question of how much we want to be part of that or not. If we really want to be part of that, the Lord will empower us and give us all the opportunities for our service. But there are so many risks on the way. We may get entangled with so many ideas. And that's why sadhu sangha, satsanga is so important. Discussing the glories of Krishna in the association of devotees without the cloud of aparad, without the cloud of criticizing. It's very important. This is our greatest wealth. Our bhakti lata, our devotional creeper, is what we have the most valuable, because that's our connection to Krishna. So we must be extremely careful to cultivate. Whoever is a farmer knows that when you have a seedling, you keep it very near to you. You take a lot of care, because anything can disturb it. The weeds, the wind, the enemies. We just heard about the six enemies we are around in our heart, the six sons of Marichi. They can come anytime and just take you in a second. So, by actually following the program of Srila Prabhupada, we can reach this platform which has been here described. And I pray to all of you that we can do our devotional service in that mentality. So I'll end here, and if you have comments, corrections, or two questions. There's one, Matis.
Hare Krishna. Very nice class. Very heart-rending. However, I have a question. You mentioned very beautifully how in Mayapur everything is going to manifest. So someone who is not living in Mayapur, should we start feeling that we should come and be here, or we should be where we are still doing some service?
Thank you. That's a beautiful question. Should the whole world move to Mayapur? Prabhupada's formula was that we should come, recharge our batteries, and go and share. That's his main formula. He's saying that to keep Lord Gauranga in your room, that's not required. And we can do that in so many ways. There's so much creativity we can use around that. So coming to Mayapur, worshipping the Lord in Mayapur, and associating with the mood of Mayapur, that is the goal of Mayapur. Prabhupada, as it was said here, once he was coming, he didn't stop in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhis, and someone criticized him for that, and he said, "Well, I'm always with my Guru Maharaj." And you can see how Prabhupada is with his Guru Maharaj. All the credit, all the glory goes to his Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada wanted us to come here and learn the science from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Mahavandanyaya. He's giving freely. By his mercy, we are able to do what we did and what we are doing. So by nourishing, now on a second level, if you can adjust your life, you can come and you can serve. That's a beautiful next step. If you can do that, and if you see that you're going to serve more, definitely.
Become a bhajana nandi. Hare Krishna. My question is not so much related to myself. I know I should be here. Although I'm still not attracted, I prefer my comfortable life overseas. However, the younger generation who feel, oh, we just go to Mayapur and, you know, we should just do bhajan, which I don't agree at all with. I think we are a preaching mission and we should carry on preaching.
We had a very beautiful experience in Italy. A very powerful combination. It's called the Sankirtan Dham Farm. Farm. It's a group of 15 brahmacharis guided by a very expert preacher. They have trucks, they make festivals, they even took a cow on a parikram. They had a little moving goshala which would go to these places. And they cultivate the land. We had pasta, which was, the wheat was from their farm, the cheese was from their farm, the tomatoes were from their farm, and they even made the pasta there. They had such a good setup. Everything is clean, it's perfect. They're so dynamic and has such a great service attitude. I said, this would please Prabhupada so much. This dynamicism of a preaching mission with connection to the earth, connected to Mother Earth, which is so abundant, which can give us everything we need. But we are a little disconnected, so we need so much supplementation with donations and programs. But as soon as we are connected, Mother Earth is giving us everything we need, even that peacefulness in our hearts. So for the preachers, it's so nice to every now and then go to Govardhan, discuss philosophy, make parikrams. And it would be so nice if we had a little farm where you could also go there, be with the cows, harvest. It's so therapeutical for us. We haven't grasped that it's coming up. This is like scenes of the next chapters of ISKCON. Okay? Hare Krishna. There are two questions, Mataji and Mataji. Yoshi? Okay, so she has a question.
You mentioned that the material world is real. It's temporary, but it's real. But in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that it appears real by the three modes of material nature, but actually it's not real. So can you please clarify?
Yes, that's a very good question. The material world appears real, but it's not real, right? And actually it is real. If you understand that everything which is here is part of something, that something has existence, and that something is the pradan. We call it pradan. As soon as it's transformed, it becomes mahat, which is that pradan transformed. As it's transformed and transformed, it becomes to all of this. It's only by the manifestation of the modes. But it's real in the sense that if you try to cross a wall, not through the door, you feel a little bit of experience, maybe a bump in the head. Someone actually tried that in the beginning of the movement. This world is not real, so let me go through this wall. And he tried and he got a big bump and he came to Prabhupada with a big bump. And Prabhupada here in this class, if you see, he's saying, this world is real, but temporary. So if you consider reality as being eternal, then it's not real. But if you consider real as something which is existing now, it is real, but it will go. Now, in the Chatusloki, if you have a look, the second verse, which is 2.9.34, Bhagavatam, it's saying that Krishna is everything, that's 33. And then he says, but if you look at this world, which appears to be in illusion, because Maya is not in illusion, that is my illusory potency. So when you look at this world and you think that this world is real in itself, that is illusion. But if you look at this pillar, is a pillar because it's got Krishna's saguna qualities. It is real because Krishna invested strength to the bricks, to the cement, to everything which is holding, to the iron. Those are the saguna qualities of Krishna coming in the form of those materials. And Krishna is behind it. But if you look at this building and you say, okay, it's concrete because concrete is strong, that is illusion. And then Prabhupada in that class says, this manor has been made for sense gratification. Therefore, it's not real, it's temporary. But we've made it the Bhaktivedanta manner. Now it's real because it's for transcendental knowledge. So that is the science of transforming something which is not real into real. Our existence, which is a mortal existence, into immortal existence. It's the same thing in two places. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. You got a few minutes? Okay then. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Mayapurdam ki jai, Sadhu Sangha ki jai. Krishna, it meant this.